Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
I just don't want to be in a situation where it's the majority of what my partner and I are talking. Not partner, partner, because it could be a man or a woman. I'm not saying partner about a
you
woman.
Fucking stop calling your girlfriend a partner. I will fucking come up there and smack you. Hey, everybody, I'm Tim Miller.
And I'm Cam Caskey, and this is our Zoomer show at Bulwark FY Pod, where we talk about new stuff and cool stuff and young stuff and the fact that my generation might not be completely in the toilet. We've got some heroes and some people doing the real work, like our friend Jared here. Jared is somebody who carries the weight of the world on his shoulders, not unlike the great Atlas, who, if you read Greek, well, great is a complicated way to put it. Atlas did some bad stuff, but, you know.
So is this an Ayn Rand shout out? Or did you, Ayn Rand phase?
No, it looks like one because I'm kind of shrugging right now.
Yeah.
But this is not an Atlas Shrugged reference. This okay. is the Jared carries a lot of weight on his shoulders because Jared is one of the soldiers at Bulwark who has to watch and perceive and process the news at warp speed. And Jared, before we get into your tremendous responsibilities, I want to get a little bit into you. You're a youngster with a job, and that is quite rare in this day and age. So can you just tell us your first date background? I'm Jared. Here's where I come from. Here's how I got where I am. And here's
interests, kinks.
Yeah, that I can do. So I am from the South. I grew up in Tennessee. I grew up in a Republican family. I then went to the University of Mississippi, where I grew to really be interested in the news.
Toddy.
While I was there, yeah, we're playing LSU this weekend. Gonna be a close one.
Before we get to the your inevitable wokeification, once you go to big education and get wokeified, what kind of high school kid were you? Were you into the news then? Were you a debate lord?
Drama? I was into politics then, but not as much like watching the news. Like I was a Model UN youth and government kid. So
did you make it to Neyman?
I did not, unfortunately.
You weren't at my level. Okay,
no, I was
playing Model UN kind of at a different. I was like on a different plane from the rest of the Model UN nerds. They didn't know how to deal with me. I made multiple people cry during Model UN conferences. I was a little bit. I was. You might be surprised to hear this, Cameron, but in high school, I was a little prickly.
What country were you like the best at being during Model UN?
You'll like this. One of my national awards was from playing Yasser Arafat.
Dude.
So I liked doing that. I also liked being kind of the weird countries.
Yasser Arafat twink.
Yeah, Yasser Arafat twink. I wish I was a twink then. Anyway, long story. Sorry, Jared, we cut you off.
So
in high school, you were what kind of kid were you? What table did you sit at?
I was playing sports. I think I was probably at like this. Like almost cool kids table, but I wasn't quite there. But like I played all the sports. I was really involved in a lot of different stuff. Like national
honors. What was your best athletic achievement? What's the highlight of your athletic career?
We weren't very good at many sports, but we did win our district 3 times in basketball, which was kind of cool. But we weren't like the greatest. It was a small high school. Like,
were you like the backup power forward, or what?
I was a center because I went to a 1A school, so I graduated with 68 kids. It was kind of a rural high school, and because of that, like I was the tallest kid on the team. So I was playing.
What's your height?
I'm 6'4". So,
God, yeah,
I'm tall, but I'm not like huge.
6'4 is the real deal. Dude, backup power forward sounds like a gay sex position. Like, okay. Oh my God, I met this guy at Fire Island Pines. We really hit it off. And then we found out that both of us are backup power forwards.
I don't know what that would even mean. Jared, you get to college. Ole Miss, you couldn't have gotten wokeified at Ole Miss. I mean.
No, but Donald Trump kind of did it to me. So in 2016, that was the first election I was able to vote in. I couldn't vote in the primary, but I was like a big Rubio guy in the primary. I was hoping he would win. He did not, of course. Then the general came around. I was in Tennessee. I wasn't a big Hillary Clinton guy, wasn't a big Trump guy. And I sat it out because I was in Tennessee. I was like, I'm not going to really change things here, and I don't want to put my name next to either of them.
Commenters, don't start commenting yet and start making fun of Jared, okay? Let's just let him finish his whole story, all right? Judge him as a man in full.
It's not about where you've been. It's where you've ended up and where you want to focus on going. But for the algorithm, because comments get our video in front of more people, you can flame Jared right now.
Go for it. So,
But then comment again at the end when you can judge him as a man in full. Okay,
and then come leave another comment saying, never mind.
So I go to college. I join a fraternity, do all the Ole Miss stuff, go to the football games, not super into politics all that much when I'm in college until probably right before COVID really started to kick off. I started like tapping into the news a lot. But then when COVID happened, I would say that's like when I really started to get back into the politics weeds, because I got sent home and I was stuck in Tennessee. I had nothing better to do than to sit and watch Trump's pressers every day where he was saying the most insane shit you could ever imagine, like injecting yourself with bleach, which nowadays, comparatively, I don't think that what he was doing back then is really that insane compared to what he's doing now. But I was also living in Tennessee at home with my mom, my grandpa, my brother, sitting inside watching this stuff all day and getting Sir Marjorie Taylor Greene ads all the time.
Some of them are Trump voters. I mean, you don't need to out any family member in particular, but you're in rural Tennessee, so I'm just doing context clues.
So, like, my grandpa on my mom's side's very Christian, and so he, like, votes third party. Well, he votes third party, actually. Like, Trump is a big turnoff for him. Other side of my family, I could see maybe my grandpa voting for Trump. Not really sure. I haven't asked him. My dad's not a huge fan of Trump, but he is former police. So, like, I grew up in a law enforcement household.
My dad's former police, and he will not shut the fuck up about how bad Trump is to the point where, like, neither do I. But I'm like, Dad, you are screaming into a bubble. All of us agree. You can chill for a second. But so what I'm seeing here right now is a very interesting narrative, which is at a time where I feel the pandemic got a lot of young men radicalized even harder because of the content that was being put in front of them and the way that it was facilitated. I think what you're getting at is COVID and the Republican Party's kind of psychotic proto-schizophrenic response to it actually made you say, wait, hold on, this isn't for me.
That along with, I mean, January 6th was like the for sure tipping point for me, but like the build up to it, I watched in real time. Like, I was watching the rallies the day before January 6th happened. I was watching their reaction to the election on Fox News after the election happened and them acting like they won despite them not winning. Like, all of the election denial stuff, I was like, this is just bullshit. I'm tired of it. And also, at the time, my grandpa had been in a car wreck. And because of that, my brother was taking care of him. My brother didn't have access to healthcare. And so, like, my views on, like, healthcare policy also kind of moved me away from the Republican Party. Because I was like, people like my brother who, like, can't work at the time because they're taking care of my grandpa, like, they should have, like, a reasonable option that's good. And I feel like the Republican Party, in a lot of ways, wants to take that kind of stuff away.
Do you have any working theories on why more people don't have that story in rural America? I mean, there's a lot of people that have bad experiences with the healthcare system in rural America. And, is it just cultural stuff that you felt less drawn to?
I would say the feeling like you're in the out group in your community is like a real issue in rural America. For example, my principal in high school had like a Hillary for prison sign in his front yard. Almost everyone in my high school was super Trumpy. After the election, I was asked to go talk about who I voted for. And when he found out, like on TV, and when he found out, because he knew I was in the youth and government and stuff, when he found out that I wasn't a Trump voter, he picked someone else, which was an interesting choice. But I think it's mostly just you don't want to feel like you're that woke lib that's kind of isolated from everybody in your small rural community, because a lot of those people are watching Fox News every night. They think the right is right, the left is like basically demons. Yeah. Like, and so it's hard to make that turn. Also, I think the Democratic Party's really struggled to reach those people. And I don't really know the solution to that, but I feel like they're looking for an answer that's at their level and they're not getting it from anyone.
This is something I talk about when I talk about other Jewish people being critical of what the state of Israel is doing, where like a lot of them do have feelings where they're against what's going on. It's just really hard when you have to go back to the dinner table and you have to go back to your community and everybody else is just so reinforcing the fact that you really shouldn't have differing opinions. And I think that that happens across the political spectrum where people are curious about alternatives to what they've been supporting. But since everybody around them characterizes those alternatives as something that is so harmful, crazy, and bad, it's hard to like want to be a part of that because you know, you don't want to stick out like a sore thumb and seem like you're being like a wet blanket and also just a negative force on the people around you. And I think that's a very real thing, is just sort of the peer pressure from folks in your sphere that makes you say, okay, you know, since I'm not 1,000,000,000% sure that I completely align with every single aspect of being lib-pilled, I'm just going to step away from it to avoid the very real and understandable pressure to fall for that. So I imagine your way of going about that wasn't going in and debate lording everybody around you. It was just saying, you know what, my politics are my politics. I'm going to progress forward in that direction confident.
You also didn't stay, right? I mean, you know, maybe it's different if you stay.
Where did you, so when you went back to Tennessee, did you go ahead and finish at Ole Miss once school opened back up?
Yeah, so I graduated in 2021. So I basically, COVID after sort of the first half of 2020 ceased to exist in the minds of many people in Oxford, Mississippi. Like they were going to the bars, they were having a good time. So I actually went home right around spring break and I moved back to Oxford in July because I wanted to get out of the house as quickly as I could. I was just tired of being stuck inside. Not being able to do anything. But then when I went back to Oxford, a lot of my friends were going out and partying. I was not doing that because I didn't have the vaccine. Also, I had an in-person class, which was like with my thesis advisor, who was an older gentleman, Professor Mitchell. He's great. Love him. And I was having to go interview people in the Mississippi Delta about flooding in the Delta. And because I was doing that, I tried to really limit my contact with people because I don't want to give some person that's letting me come into their home and interview them COVID because I was out partying on the square.
Oh, Jared, this is going to make this interview tough and boring because there is something that you have going for you, which is that you're a good person that cares about other people, it seems like. And so that doesn't give us a lot of insight into how to win over Mecca.
Look at what I'm repping on my torso right now. It's a heel with a high heel with an American flag on it that's stepping on an orange because that's what Donald Trump is. He's from the Jim Owls Liberal Democratic Club in New York City. Some of my good friends in local New York politics. Not that I'm focused on that right now. But Jared, so you went from graduating Ole Miss, losing some valuable school time to the pandemic, which so many people in our generation can unfortunately relate to, especially those young high schoolers who had to go from eighth grade into a new high school where they're supposed to meet new people all via fucking FaceTime. It was so disappointing. And now you're working at Bulwark, which, not to toot anybody's horn here, you know, is a job that a lot of very qualified and interesting people might be going for because they are excited about the independent media space as something that is growing and dynamic and interesting.
They're seeing potential financial opportunities. I mean, the Free Press just got $150 million. You never know.
A lot of media people who want to do the work are seeing CBS make Barry Weiss turn it into like some anti-woke weird shit, and they're seeing Ellison they're seeing Ellison at CBS, they're seeing ABC go after Jimmy Kimmel. Like, I think a lot of people are excited about independent media as something that can actually be a form of journalism. But you're a youngster, you know, you're not the typical Bulwark person where you're 45 years older than I am, except for Tim. So what did you do to get there? Like, what were your bona fides, dude? How'd you swing this shit?
So right after I graduated college, I was looking for jobs a couple of different places. I found a canvassing job in D.C. with the ACLU, standing on the street, talking to people in front of the Smithsonian, talking to them in Georgetown, wherever it might be, asking them, hey, do you have a minute to talk about voting rights, or do you have a minute to talk about the right to vote, free speech? Like, there's a couple different pitches.
That's a horrible job.
Yeah, it was terrible. I was debating people when I wasn't really interested in debating. I just wanted to raise money for the ACLU. But basically, I was on the street selling the idea of the ACLU, but like not giving them any tangible product. I was like, hey, give me a monthly donation. And so I did that until about late September of that year. I'm approaching my fourth year working for Sarah, because I then got hired by her other company doing the same kind of work, rapid response for Republican Accountability Project at the time. And then I ended up doing rapid response for Republican Accountability PAC. But basically, I just had an interview and was like, I really want to work somewhere that has heating because it's about to get cold outside. And right. I really want to fight back against this very much growing authoritarian movement that I was seeing online amongst sort of the younger people in the MAGA movement.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
All right, I'm going to... Oh shit, I lost my Gen Z term. What are we saying? I was about to say gloss, but we say glaze. It's glaze that we're now they're trying to do. I'm going to glaze Jared for a second because he's being humble. He did want a job with heating, but he also is willing to work like 107 hours per week, which is what we're about to get to in his job. And I do think that is a unique trait in Gen Z. I mean, Cam, how many of your friends are working 107 hours per week, would you say?
All of them that can get a fucking chance to do it.
Really?
But yeah, people want to get to work right now. And I think that, you know, the lazy entitled Zoomer at work thing is a very real thing. But I think a lot of those lazy entitled Zoomers at work are very often the ones who got their job from like a family connection, the ones who got their job in an easier way than people who didn't have kind of a head start. And I think a lot of the more self-starter types who really went in and fought for it and really wanted to go the extra mile, they are willing to go in and put in that extra work. So when I see articles about Zoomers like having their parents call their boss, which I think is utterly fanciful, and like there's 10 examples of it that are just...
Has your mother ever called Sarah Longwell, Jared?
No, and if she did that, I would lose my mind. Okay. Also, Sarah would never let that in. She would just make fun of me for that for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
My closest example of that is... my dad sent in a boomer mailbag question that Tim was very amused by.
It was really funny.
But
I did have, I guess my closest example is I did have a Bulwark superfan suggest their daughter as a babysitter, and that turned out great. So I appreciate that, mom, for
is
her
that true?
Helicopter momming. Yeah, she like messaged me out of the blue and was like, my daughter lives by you. Do you want a babysitter? And I was like, yeah, I
And Toulouse was a fan?
Yeah, that worked out great. So sometimes overbearing mothers and Zoomers can work out, but you know, you have to be judicious in choosing it. So if you are a Zoomer that, and Cameron is correct, and you want to work 107 hours per week and you don't like Donald Trump that much, you should call us, because I'm a little bit skeptical that there are other people that have the dog in them like Jared does. And maybe you'll change your mind as well, Cam, if you hear a little bit about what Jared's day looks like. Why don't you tell us like what a day looks like for you, Jay?
So nowadays I wake up in the morning. I look
what hour would you say? What time are you getting up?
I'm normally a late night guy, so I get up about 7, but like okay. I'm up until 1 a lot of the time. Okay. But I get up in the morning, get ready for the day. As soon as I get into the office, I'm looking to see what events are happening for the day. Typically, I already have an idea of what's going to go on, but I'm looking at Trump's calendar. I'm looking at the congressional schedule, and I'm trying to eye out interesting hearings. I'm trying to eye out interesting interviews, stuff that I think is going to be newsworthy. And then after I figure it out, I load them into the great software that we use, SnapStream. Huge shout out to SnapStream. Love them. And I watch all of these hearings. I watch all of the pressers, and I'm looking for the stuff that's newsworthy. And so basically for the past 4 years, I've watched just about every Trump interview, Trump rally. I watched all of Kamala's rallies. I watched all of her interviews, and I did it for work, but also because I'm deeply fascinated in it. But now that's my day to day.
That includes like Saturday you're doing that?
Not as much now, but during the campaign cycle, I was like every Saturday that there was a rally, I was watching it. Yeah.
Just so we know what's going on with this, that you find the moments to flag and pull for the Bulwark commentators and journalists. And in presumably Slack, you say every time something comes up, hey, everybody, FYI, this just happened, you know, respond accordingly.
So a lot of it, we actually push out like straight to social media as soon as it happens in a lot of in a lot of cases. And then also there's a guy I work with, Brendan. He is terrific.
We love Brendan. I tried to make this a double show, a Jared and Brendan double. I was going to make them both sit in one screen like that. You know, like the Muppets, like the old Muppets, but Brendan was
Statler and Waldorf.
Yeah, thank you. We need Cameron for this is why the Gen Z show works. We need Cameron for all the 1970s references, and we need me to talk about music that happened after the year 2020. So, you know, it's confusing.
I asked Tim his favorite REM song yesterday, and he goes, REM is Gen X. And I'm like, dude, if I'm asking you, REM is timeless.
REM is not timeless. Anyway, so Brendan didn't want to do it. I apologize for interrupting you. So Jared's representing the duo.
So Brendan actually started working for Sarah in August of 2024. So he was like trial by fire in a lot of ways. Like we were covering every rally like 3-4 a day, whatever it might have been. So he came in and I was like, I need help with this. And he jumped right in and I taught him how to go about what we call live clipping, which is watching the rallies, finding the stuff that is worth pushing out to people, or that we deem worth pushing out to people, and doing it as quickly as possible. There's a lot of other people that do it that I really admire, which like ASIN, Aaron Rupar. I have been following their work since like back in 2020 when I was at home. Like I was watching their stuff.
Yeah. Shout out to ASIN and Aaron Rupar. Yeah. But because the live clipping of it is important, but it's also, you know, I think here's a little behind the curtain for people. Every once in a while, I go on YouTube and I talk about an interview that Donald Trump did or a press conference, and I didn't actually watch the whole thing because I'm doing a lot of interviews, you know? And so it's important to have people that are like always watching all of this shit who have good judgment to like flag for me the shit that I need to actually watch. And I think that's like, that's how we're turning stuff around for people on the YouTube feed. Otherwise, like, you can't do this in real time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of what we do is those like prep docs for you or Sarah, whoever it might be, of just like grabbing all of the important clips so you don't have to watch all hour and a half.
You're also watching some of the bro pods, it seems like, mm-hmm. now. Is that just like a bonus? Are you doing that on your own time? Or is that now part of the mission?
Brendan does a lot of the bro pod watching because Brendan really enjoys
watching. When I say you, I'm doing you plural. Mm-hmm. You plural. I'm using you plural always. Yeah, you.
What do you mean, you people?
You people, you and Brenda.
Part of it is what we're looking for is people that are pushing back against Trump. And right now, a lot of the bro pods, that's what they're doing. They're tired of him acting like Epstein isn't a big deal. They're tired of him attacking free speech, going after Kimmel. Like, they're tired of that stuff because, like, comedians care about their free speech and they don't want a president that's out here bullshitting them. And a lot of them, I feel like they're being bullshitted and they're expressing that on their shows. So watching the bro pods is a great way for us to find those messages and amplify them to our audience.
Yeah. Do you think that they're really mad? This is the thing that's hard for me to sometimes grasp. You know, it is the one. There's no substitute for watching things in their entirety. Like, do you think that there are ways where like the clips of that stuff is kind of misrepresenting like where they really are?
I feel like maybe for some of them, but what we're grabbing, like, again, Brendan watches a lot of it, but we're pretty judicious and we don't want to clip people out of context. It's just like not fair to do because you do it and then you get in a bind of like, oh, well, they said this 5 minutes before. Right. I feel like especially like the guys, like the Andrew Schultz guys, the guys on that pod, and like Rogan, like I think they're genuinely a little mad about the free speech stuff because like comedians really do care about their ability to say whatever they want on whatever platform they want. And Trump, like, acting like that's not the case, I feel like is a huge red line for them.
As far as, like, your mental health, how do you navigate having to spend so much time listening to Donald Trump?
Finding time to do stuff that I enjoy whenever that time happens.
I don't believe that. What are you doing that you enjoy?
I try to play golf on Saturday mornings when I can.
Oh, my God, dude.
It gets me exercise. I'm sitting at a desk all the time.
In the world on this fucking podcast. Okay, you're golfing.
Okay, I'm an old Zoomer in my media consumption and the fact that I don't like being awake past 11 p.m. But like golf,
I golf. I play video games with my friends from back home.
Golf. Does any more need to be said? Golf, really?
I spend time with my girlfriend, which is great. Love doing that.
I'm so happy for you, Jared. I'm so happy that you're happy.
How did you attract a girlfriend? What was your?
It's actually very funny.
Please.
So I was in college. It was the last month. I was at a crawfish date party. I brought my friend who is very much lesbian to this date party because at the time I didn't have a girlfriend. And my now girlfriend showed up as a DD for a friend and introduced us because we were both, quote, libs. And so then we talked about politics for an hour or
so. A lib love story and an Ole Miss crawfish boil. God. You know, and people say there's no bright shining lights in this world right now.
Can I just say, like, I want your take on this because I think that, you might be able to shine some light on something for me. I have been exploring who I'm going to marry because I just checked the timer that I set during our episode with my girl Tara Hoops, who I've since become like BFFs with. And Tara is a Zoomer who got married, very young lady, very happily married now, got a new last name. And I've been really trying to figure out what to do because I've dated in my life, Tim, don't say a single fucking name. I've dated a lot of actresses, and actresses have been such a good match for me because they're very socially progressive and they have an eye on what's going on, but they aren't like policy wonks. So when we are like about to go to bed at night, I can count on there being 90 minutes before sleep where politics doesn't come up. But I worked for a Hollywood producer for 2 years. A lot of my friends are actors, which is how I meet other actors. Like a lot of my friends are industry people who are involved with theater and, all these different things. So I know how to talk about their thing, but I'm not an actor. I'm not in the weeds of their thing. And they know how to talk about my thing. But they're not like following ASIN and AT Rupar and everything. So we can talk to each other about each other's stuff, but it's not the only thing that happens. And I've been struggling with the idea of being in a relationship with somebody who's as locked into politics stuff as I am, because I just don't want to be in a situation where it's the majority of what my partner and I are talking. Not partner, partner, because it could be a man or a woman. I'm not saying partner about a woman.
You fucking stop calling your girlfriend a partner. I will
genderless partner.
Smack you, Jared. So are you guys doing ASIN pillow talk like you and your girlfriend?
Normally, like when I get home, I will like talk about the crazy. Like yesterday, I came in and was just talking about how Trump was like calling for an investigation and wanting to arrest the guy that turned off the escalator. Like normally, I come in and talk about the most absurd shit that's happening because. I just need to vent about it. But typically after that, like, we're not really talking politics. We're talking family drama, talking about our cat, like other stuff, watching shows that aren't politically related at all.
I think that's such a nice story because we had a mailbag recently, and we've been denying you people the mailbag because you ask us boring questions, okay? I'm not going to answer your question about creeping authoritarianism, all right? We've had enough questions about creeping authoritarianism. If you have interesting questions about Gen Z's, or your sex
life. Like shit that confuses you about Zoomers. Yeah. Zoomers being weird and you trying to make sense of it. You know, I act like an old person sometimes, but I happen to have a very good insight on why Zoomers are weird and different reasons for that. So ask us that stuff. And also ask us like toxic dating questions.
Yeah.
Like give us some fun shit. Tim and I are fun.
Give me something else to fucking talk about besides creeping authoritarianism. Anyway, Bulwark Podcast at thebulwark.com. But back when we were doing that, when people asked good questions, one of them was from a young woman, a Gen Z woman, talking about how it's hard to find non-MAGA boys or boys that are acceptable to date in red areas. And there you go. There's a Jared for all of you out there. There's a Jared for all of you. You just got to go to the crawfish boil and you got to ask your friends, where's the lib? Find me the lib at this crawfish boil and maybe you'll get a Jared.
Maybe.
Cam, that feels like good advice.
We get people commenting on the FY Pod spinoff channel that you all ought to subscribe to for me and my ex-girlfriend Ellie and Snacks the Hip Hopper and Adam Mockler and Jack Cacciarella and many other great guests. But we get comments on that are because we talk a lot about dating on the new channel. That's like, that's like older people being like, I wish my granddaughter had a guy like Jared. Like, I'm sure we'll get comments on this video saying like, ugh, where's my niece's Jared?
Were there other Jareds at Ole Miss, Jared?
Not a lot. I remember like I would sit in the backyard of the fraternity house because like I started to turn away from like the Republican Party well before like COVID. But like I lived in the fraternity house my junior year and was like would sit on the back porch after going out to the bar and just would talk about politics with people. And they'd be like, yeah, I'm not a big fan of Trump, but like insert all of the stuff they like about what Republicanism is and about how much they hate the Dems. And I'm like, yeah, but like he is like uniquely bad, like next level bad, and turning away from all the stuff the Republican Party was about. So like the stuff that you're saying you like is like not what he's for. Like he doesn't care about free markets at all.
I talked about this a lot because it's, you know, an interesting perspective on Zoomer Republicans. I lived with a Zoomer, like relatively hardcore Republican. He was not anti-abortion. There were some issues where he was a little bit more of a dark horse person who could think for himself, but he fully identifies as like a deep red Republican and everything, but he fucking hates Trump and refused to vote for Trump. And he's a Georgia voter. So that really meant something. But he always remembers to remind me, don't mistake my hate for Donald Trump with any love for the Democrats.
Whoever wrote this ad for me, I assume it's not Cornbread Hemp, whose product, A+, we'll get to that in a second. But they wrote this, I'm not as young as I once was. Fuck you, a script writer. Who wrote this? I'm young, I'm youthful, I'm young at heart, I'm young at spirit. I'm wearing this teal t-shirt. But even though I'm an old fuck, I still care a lot about maintaining my physical and mental wellness. Cornbread Hemp CBD gummies are a huge part of that wellness plan. Cornbread Hemp CBD gummies are made to help you feel better, whether it's stress, discomfort, or just needing a little relaxation. And nothing says relaxing like relaxing legally. You hear that, Tom Homan? Legally, no problems here. No bribes taking here. Citizen of the United States. These gummies are federally legal, and they're just what I need to kick back when I'm sick of contemplating the state of the world. With Cornbread Hemp, they only use the best part of the hemp plant, the flower, for the purest and most potent CBD. And all products are third-party lab-tested and USDA organic to ensure safety and purity. You want that pure shit. You know, you don't want the cut-up CBD. Right now, FY Pod listeners can save 30% off their first order. Just head to cornbreadhemp.com/FYPod. It's a great website name. And use code FYPOD at checkout. That's cornbreadhemp.com/FYPOD and use code FYPOD at checkout. I have a question for you, Jared. I think you'd have an interesting perspective on this. Like, what is it about the Dems that you think that you're, you know, the more sensible of your frat buddies, more sensible of your Ole Miss buddies? Like, what's the big holdup? Like, what are the things that annoy them the most? Like, what's on the top of their annoyance list?
I would say they're tired of the woke shit is how they would say it. Like they just are tired of like feeling
Which
like they have to like,
they not like though
feeling like they have to like censor themselves if they have like a hot take on something, or like scared that they're going to get canceled because they say retard or something like that.
Do they want to do the N-word, do you think?
No, not anybody that I'm friends with. There are people like that, but I don't associate with them.
I had some friends at Ole Miss, and back in year redacted when I was in college, the N-word was still bouncing around quite a bit at Ole Miss, I would say.
It's definitely, I would say, it's still a problem at the University of Mississippi. But again, like that's like a very much a red line for me. Like if I'm around people that are throwing that around left and right, like not.
I think that word is just a symbol to a lot of people who want to say it or do say it while they're rapping a song in a car or something. It's a symbol of I am uninhibited by the restrictions of social messaging and everything. And I think more than they want to say it out of sheer racism, I think it's motivated by a form of racism. But I think what they're thinking in their head consciously, maybe not subconsciously, is like, this is me saying that people can't stop me on stuff. Yes. And that's, you know, that's just one of those things where you have to teach them that like some things are forbidden because they need to be. Because it's, you know, you have to make sure you're fostering an environment where people who have received that word in a hateful way feel safe and comfortable. Whereas, you know, the R word is something we can talk about a little deeper. I think that's a different one. I think that files into a different category of unacceptable language where, like, you know, maybe it's occasionally slipped into the FY pod. Who knows? I can't speak to that. I plead the fifth.
I encourage use of all the words. No hard R. Anyway, where are you, Jared? Do you have anything?
I was just going to say it also is a candidate problem. I feel like a lot of people I knew at Ole Miss, like, that didn't like Trump, like, really didn't like Joe Biden because they felt that he was, like, lame and old, which, I mean, Trump is lame and old, but, like, he would say something funny every once in a while, and they would, like, make him appear cool on social media to them versus, like, it's really hard to, like, say Joe Biden was cool.
But do you see any other Dems you think they might have liked better?
At the time, no. Now, like, there's some people with some potential, but...
Who do you think has potential?
I mean, I personally like Andy Beshear, but everybody here in the office hates that.
Doesn't have
but,
a lot of riz.
Like, he doesn't have a lot of riz, but I just like someone that is young, that is willing to try to appeal across the aisle to people that might have been a Trump voter. Like, I'm just tired of people that, like, constantly demonize, especially the voters for Trump. Yeah. Like, I get it. They make really bad decisions.
Hardest hit.
Yeah, JBL would hate that take, but it's like, I have a lot of friends and family who don't really pay much attention to politics outside of what they see for 15 minutes. And, like, you have to find ways to appeal to those people. And I feel like the Democratic Party, especially in 2024, really struggled to reach those people. Like, Kamala was giving the same exact speech for 3 months straight. And on social media, you can only clip the same exact quote so many times before it gets old.
Right.
Which Trump gets up and says insane stuff, but he wasn't giving a normal stump speech that you would hear, which I don't think necessarily works nowadays.
I would say to that, I agree with the sentiment and everything, but it's important. And we talk about this all the time, but it's because we have to. It's important to remember that it's not just about hating fence-sitting Republicans who can do a lot of good work. It's also the fucking non-voters. It's the non-voters. It's such a big deal. And I think Beshear could be great with them. I'm surprised people around the office, like, hate Beshear because, like...
I think the they don't hate him personally. They hate the idea of him as a presidential candidate.
They don't think he has riz.
Like, he has got a lot of riz.
But he's got sincerity. You could tell he means what he says.
You like Andy Beshear, Cam?
I wouldn't pick Andy Beshear, but if Andy Beshear was in the primary, I would definitely keep an eye on him because I like what he has to say, and I think he speaks from the heart.
Yeah, like, he's not my horse, but, like, I just think he's someone that's willing to be empathetic to people that deserve empathy, but also is, like, trying to reach across the aisle in, like, a red state. And I think that we need someone that's willing to try to reach them instead of just, like, constantly demonize the voters over there.
I agree with that. I also wish we had somebody who could chop it up a little better.
Yeah, would be nice. Would be nice.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA. Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited. Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
I want to do. I have two more things I want to get to you before we get to Gen Z hour. I want to go back to the Ole Miss kids not liking the woke stuff, because I want to do something that maybe I want both of you guys to take on this. I want to do something that maybe challenges the audience a little bit on this, because I think that it's easy to dismiss that complaint when it is, I'm so annoyed I can't say pussy, and the Black Little Mermaid is bad, and the Bud Light can had a transgender person on it, and that's bad. Like, there's just so much stupid anti-woke shit out there that is, like, obviously stupid, and, like, anybody that is actually aggrieved about this is a fucking moron, and you should be able to dismiss them with prejudice. The part of it, though, that I wonder if there's, like, a little kernel of truth to is, if you're a white dude that goes to Ole Miss and you go to church and or not, but you try to be a good person, and you whatever, you're not the red hat MAGA person screaming racial slurs, but you're just like, I'm just a regular median Ole Miss white dude. You have to hear a lot of times for the left, like, people use that as a pejorative, right? That's like, oh, like, well, you would have this opinion because you're a white dude. Like, there's a lot of stuff that people can, that people on the left say about white dudes that you would never say about other people. Like, obviously you think that because you're a Mexican. Like, you would never say that about anybody, about a Mexican person, for good reason. But like, it is okay to say that about white dudes. Like, obviously you have that backwards view because you're a white dude. Or like, I don't know, you maybe need to get this job. We already have five white dudes, and so like, we can't consider you. Like, again, I'm for diversity and representation, but I can understand how that chaps their ass a little bit. And I wonder if there's any of that that resonates with you, or if you think that I'm coddling the young white men.
I don't think that like they need a lot of coddling. Like, in a lot of ways, it's like, for the most part, like, things are fair to them more than a lot of other people. And they, I think, get unreasonably mad. But also, like, there is a certain point where, like, if someone's just like yelling at you because you're just a white dude, like, that's not necessarily right. Like, you like wouldn't do it the other way and it'd be acceptable. But I do think that they have that frustration with the left. I just don't think that it's like a reasonable frustration, because I think it's right to like question some of the issues that white dudes have caused, especially throughout history. Like, white dudes have done some really bad stuff.
No. Woke,
like,
Jared is out.
Yeah, he's out. But like,
woke Jared, we're taking down Jared is in the middle of the night going docs where he's going to take down the statues.
I don't know. It's just like going to school at Ole Miss, a school that like integrated in the 1960s.
Crazy.
There was a violent riot and people died because they were so mad about it. Like, James Meredith walked that campus bravely, and James Meredith has a statue there. And there's like, recently, as like 20 years ago, there was a fraternity that put a noose on it, got kicked off campus. Like, there's a lot of that shit that still happens at Ole Miss. So like, there is a little bit of, I feel like, reason to be mad at the white dudes at Ole Miss sometimes. But like, when like we moved the Confederate statue, I was on campus when that happened. There were a lot of people that are super mad about it. It was in the front and center of campus, right in front of the Lyceum. Like, that's a very unwelcoming thing to have right in front of your school. Like, when you pull into the university, the first thing you saw before you even saw the Lyceum was the Confederate statue. They moved it to the Confederate cemetery. There was a bunch of protests. I remember some group showed up with guns to protest it. They like canceled class for the day. And I think like, it's reasonable to be mad that there's people that are like trying to keep that there.
Yeah.
It's just,
where are you at on Colonel Reb?
I'm going to move on.
Keeping Colonel Reb.
I like, honestly, like, having a Confederate colonel as the mascot of the school is not great. Like, I get that. Like, that's not a good thing. I'm fine with us staying the Rebels, though. The land shark was stupid. Yeah. I voted for it because the other options were also stupid. But like,
Cam, what do you think? Do the young white men have any legit complaints with the wokes?
No. I think that doesn't mean it isn't important to address how young white men feel right now and meet with and talk to young white men about what's going on. But I just don't want to baby people. Like, I don't, it's the same thing I felt when I was talking to Jewish people around New York City who were scared for their safety because of Zohran, who was the candidate that pledged the most money to fight anti-Semitism of anybody in the race. I was just like, I put out a post that went pretty viral, like, explaining calmly why all is well. We are good. We are not going to be in trouble. If you look at how things have gone, this is going to be something that is positive and our community is strong and going to be accommodated for. But, and I just realized at one point I ended up taking it down because I was like, I don't want to baby people. Like, I don't want to talk down to people and tell them like, oh, you're fine, in a place where, generally speaking, in terms of most measures, this is an extremely safe city to be in for everybody. And I, when it comes to like white dudes having a bit of white fragility, which is a term that I try to avoid when I'm speaking to them, because obviously it seems condescending in its own right, I just don't like to act like things are worse for us than they are for other people. Like, just because we're getting a lot of shit due to the nature of the culture and the way we're talking about stuff, we're still the easiest type of person to be in the world. Being a white man in America, like, no matter how many DEIs there are, no matter how many protesters there are screaming about how white men suck, like, the institutions are still on our side. And that's something that I think is very important to recognize. So listen, I talk to white dudes about how we are getting left behind and we are getting screwed over, but our enemy is not fucking DEI and woke. Our enemy is billionaires trying to cut all the jobs and replace them with robots and create a situation where everybody's using Klarna to pay for their Uber Eats because all the local restaurants got closed and the electricity bills are going up $100 a month because somebody just built a giant data center. Like, white, young white dude, I said this on MSNBC at fucking 0 a.m. the other day. Young white dudes are getting screwed over right now, but they are getting screwed over so much more by the oligarch class of Peter Thiel and Donald Trump and their crypto fraud friends than they are by an Asian person getting a job.
You've already gotten enough Yas Queen snaps for all this. Okay. People got it. People get let me try another one on you then. What if, if in the merits, it's not a fair critique, but what if still maybe the strategy should just be different from a political standpoint? I want to read you this tweet from Milan Singh. He writes this. Here's one reason straight men are shifting right. Democratic comm staffers are all women or gays. And that's pretty apparent.
Do you remember what James Carville said at that conference? Like, the Democratic Party has got too many preachy females.
Yeah, well, here's their I think this is an interesting point that we should at least sit with. Guess how many people running the Kamala HQ account were straight men? 1 out of 14. This is how you end up with Chuck Schumer, age 74, tweeting stuff that sounds like, girl, it's not clocking to you that Senate Democrats are low-key standing on business. Is there something to the fact that there's no white dudes that like work for the Democrats and so they don't know how to talk to them anymore?
I think that a lot of internet language is derived from Ave. I don't know what it stands for, like African-American
vernacular English. Yeah.
I think that a lot of the trends online come from Black Twitter, and that ends up being where language like clocked and things like that comes from. So I don't know if that's as much because there aren't white dudes doing social media strategy as much as it's a lot of the trends and language in social media do come from communities of color and the way that they shape the culture on something like Twitter. But again, I do think that you need to have representation for the groups of people you need to reach. And that means making sure white guys are talking to other white guys about this, because I don't think it's impossible. There's this thing that annoys me so much where there's a lot of people dooming about white dudes not being able to return to becoming blue voters. And this is something that you've talked about already on Bulwark. I think you did a video with some of the other people about it. Like, guys like Theo Vaughn and Joe Rogan and everything like that, we need to open the tent for them, because those guys can speak to young men, and those guys are not partisans. They got sold on Trump because they are not ideologically consistent or sound people, and Trump was very appealing to folks like that. But at the end of the day, like, they are not unwinnable. You just have to pick the right battles. Things like the First Amendment, things like immigration, like young white dudes are reachable and you can win them back. The worst thing you can do is do something that Democrats do in a lot of states, especially Florida, and just act like it's a lost cause and there's no coming back and we're never going to get people again, because acting like a group of voters can never be engaged again is the best way to assure that they will never be engaged again.
I would just say, I don't think it's a problem of who's staffing these offices. I think it's a problem of who they're trying to reach. Like, I think what James Tallarico is doing, like going on Rogan, is great. Like, you have to go meet them where they are. Like, go on like Stavros's podcast and just chop it up with a comedian. Like, go talk to the people that are having these young dudes watch their shows. Like, if you're going on The View, like, you're reaching like 60-year-old wine moms, but you're not reaching the young dudes. Like, the way you reach the young dudes is you got to go where they are. And this idea that like the Dems need to make their Joe Rogan, like, I don't think that's necessarily the case. They just need to go where these people already are and have a good case for why what they're running on, what their policy ideas are better than the alternative. And I think going into their zone is the way to do it.
I'm going to disagree here one more time. I think the staffing matters a little bit. I don't know. There's this Bill Simmons line. Cameron, you're just going to have to get this from context clues because it's about football video games. But he was like, every NFL team needs to hire one like 17-year-old who plays Madden all day long to just stand next to the coach on the sidelines and every once in a while say, this is stupid. Mm-hmm. Because they just do stupid things. They need somebody to like just check their judgment. And I think that it probably wouldn't hurt to have one Ole Miss frat bro on every Democratic presidential campaign just like look at the tweet before it's sent and is like, is this going to sound cringe as fuck, yes or no? And like, that's their only job. It's just like, can we just make sure that we don't sound like, you know, completely alien life forces from Brooklyn and sound maybe more like the average person in America sounds.
I mean, I agree with that. Yeah.
But I also think that playing into certain memes is worse than it is better. And you see a lot of Democrats trying to do this, like trying to get in on the popular meme right now when Kamala is brat was happening and everything. Yeah. I think that it's kind of like the teacher getting in on the joke in class. If the Democrats let all the other people do it and didn't try Dark Brandon, the memes of Joe Biden with the red glowing eyes or the sunglasses being like some rogue dark horse figure. It was kind of funny because people on the left, like me, who are to the left of Joe Biden on many policies, loved it because Dark Brandon was a way to highlight the stuff Biden was doing that everybody left of center could get behind, which there were plenty of things. You know, I'm a Biden hater, and I think that Biden's legacy is one that is going to kind of forever be in humiliation. But I'm also not the type of person who is insane enough to say that there were not a ton of great things done under that administration. And I think that the Dark Brandon meme really highlighted that for a lot of young voters. But then Biden got in on it, and it wasn't cool anymore.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Yeah. I think like that would like Dark Brandon would have worked if like he didn't have Dark Brandon's like special sauce before the debate and then went up there and like shat the bed in front of all of America. Like those kind of memes are good, but you have to have someone to back up the meme.
And that's one more thing I'll say is like, Tim, you kind of talked about this on one of the first episodes that we ever did. And it was a point that I hadn't really completely thought of. It was, you know, it was something that I understood to be true, but you just put it in a way that really made it make sense to me, which is like, it's not just about going on these platforms and meeting people where they're at. It's also about saying the right stuff when you're there. Like, I don't know how successful Kamala Harris on Joe Rogan would have been because Kamala Harris on Rachel Maddow this week was getting asked questions and was fumbling them like she had gotten tossed a hot potato with hands covered in mercury. So like when Rachel Maddow
was, man, you got to be able to chop it up.
When Rachel Maddow was like, so you didn't pick Pete Buttigieg because he's gay. And Kamala was like, no, of course not. I just didn't pick Pete Buttigieg because he was gay. Like, so I think that somebody like James Tallarico is perfect for Joe Rogan. Bernie does great on Joe Rogan. Rogan's audience likes Bernie more than you would ever think they do. Rogan likes Bernie. You know, there are people who can go to these places, but it's not just about where they're saying it. It's also about what they're saying. So talking to an audience
and how they're saying it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not even like I'm like, oh, you got to pander to them. You just got to be able to sound normal. Like, you can't sound like you're in a fucking liberal bubble, use liberal bubble words, and you can't sound like you're just a boring ass politician doing boring ass talking points. It's harder than it sounds. We're running out of time. Jared, really quick, rapid fire. For people who do not suffer the life you do, where you watch all this stuff, is there something that you like observe about Donald Trump and the administration that's happening that you think people might not notice because you're seeing this all the time?
I think like the level at which the people around him have to like constantly coddle him on TV. Like, I think the escalator thing is like a perfect example. I feel like a lot of people miss this, but like Caroline Leavitt, after Trump like complained about this escalator to her, like went on Fox News right after him, was like, they need to look into this guy. And it's definitely because Trump was like losing his shit behind the scenes about this. I mean, you saw it in the Truth Social post. I feel like people really miss the level at which these people are constantly going on Fox News after Trump gets mad about something to do the complaining on his behalf.
To sue them because he's been watching it. That's interesting. Yeah. The escalator person and the sandwich man might be the heroes we need. Okay, Cam, we had two Gen Z topics. You want to do yours first or mine?
We'll do mine first. I pulled a secret video that I want us to watch about how hard and impossible and ridiculous it is to talk to some Zoomers and figure out how to make conversation. Let's take a look.
Your top is so cute. Thanks. Yeah, do you remember where you got it from? I don't know. It's not mine. So where are you from?
I don't know.
Like, are you from around here? Are you from, like, another state, or?
No.
Okay, so what do you do for work?
Stuff.
Like, what kind of stuff? Like, what field do you work
just,
in?
Like, stuff. Why?
What kind of music do you like to listen to?
Like, music. Like, I listen to music.
The thanks thing is real. The thanks thing is real. Gen Zs do that. When, like, you try to engage them in a normal conversation or give them a compliment, and it's like a long pause with thanks.
No, that's my sister. Like, that, I love my sister. Bless her heart. She's such a cutie patootie, and I feel a special connection to her. But, like, that I have to, like, mine for topics and answers from her like a fucking diamond pickaxe in Minecraft, which Jared will understand. You won't.
I get it.
Jared, do you feel this way? Is it hard to communicate with the younger Gen Zs in particular?
I don't really think so, but I don't interact with them a ton. But, like, I played golf with, like, some, like, younger Gen Zs a couple weeks ago. No, and, like,
okay. this is shit. There are only 14 Zoomers that golf. They are not representative of the community.
But, like, I don't know. Gen Z, if, like, you don't have anything in common, like, I think part of it is, like, during COVID, like, people weren't going out. They weren't just, like, meeting people at the bar. But even, like, before COVID, I feel like Gen Z had that problem. Because, like, I'm an elder Gen Z, and small talk's, like, a real problem.
Small talk is a struggle. This is a big part of my parenting with Tullis. It's just, I don't know what she's going to do or succeed on, but I will make sure she can communicate like a human at a party. Mm-hmm. I think it's an important life skill that your parents stopped teaching you guys. I mean, you guys are great. It's your peers. I want to make fun of The Atlantic. Is that okay? Can we make fun of The Atlantic? I was excited to click on this article because I love reading about sex trend pieces in Boreen Powell Jobs's magazine, The Atlantic. Just a refined periodical. And their headline is this: whatever happened to getting to first base? Gen Z has abandoned the old dating script. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. It's like, I wonder what is happening. Are they skipping first base? What's going on? The premise of the piece, I guess, is that Gen Z does a lot of different types of sex stuff, and, like, they have a lot of different mores around sex.
Fraud.
And what?
Nothing.
And it's not, oh, whatever you said, it's going to be embarrassing in post. Whatever you said, they're not doing the old school thing of where you go to first base first, and then you make it to second base. You know, you kiss, and then you do the booby fondle, and then you make it, eventually you have sex. They're not doing that anymore. I want to read this paragraph to you. In my reporting, including in conversations with about a dozen Zoomers across the country. So this person is basing this article on not 12 conversations, because you would have said a dozen if it was 12. So she spoke to less than 12 Zoomers about their sex life. Here's what she learned. I learned about terms like sneaky links, people you hook up with in secret, zombies, people who come back after ghosting you, and simps, guys like Cam who try too hard to get a partner. Zoomers spoke of the dangers of catching feelings and the imperative to keep liaisons chill at all costs, or nonchalant, as they put it. What in the fuck is this? Why are they writing about this like Zoomers are like a new tribe deep in the Amazon? Like, all this is normal stuff. Like, oh, Zoomers sometimes want to have chill hookups. Is this the first generation that did this? They have slang. Like, this is the weirdest fucking article. So anyway, did you skip first base? I want to get what your reaction is now that I'm going to do reporting like The Atlantic. What do you
think? Which one is first?
I think kissing, tongue.
No, tongue. I normally do. I think kiss is normally the first step after serenading.
Yeah. Still.
And then second base is hand stuff, and third base is mouth stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, hand stuff is sort of something that maybe I don't think you need to, like, fully do hand stuff before going to third base. I think you can just kind of do, like, a pilot preview of hand stuff.
Yeah, you can sprint through
really
second base.
Skipping second base. This is what The Atlantic was wrong about. What happened to second base? Second base is
well, are
gone
people
now.
Like I think it's a little odd to suggest that people are going to hand stuff before kissing. Kissing seems like, you
know.
No,
hand stuff is second. Kissing is first. Hand stuff is second. Mouth stuff is third.
It just, I would feel really, really uncomfortable doing second or third without having done step one.
Yeah,
that
just
exactly.
Feels entirely like step one is where you figure is like where you actually figure out what the sexual chemistry is going to be. Like no matter how good the chemistry is in the flirting, the kissing is where you're like, okay, are we actually going to know what we're doing here?
Unless they're like talking about like you go 1, 2, 3, 4, like you do a whole loop at once. Mm. And that's not what they think is normal. But like, yeah, like that's the normal order you would go. Yeah.
Yeah. So the order still stands.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's sad news for the Atlantic because the whole premise of the piece is that.
But I don't know. Like, you know,
but both of you do have done first base first. You know, you haven't like gone straight to BDSM or something. Or
no.
I've done first base multiple.
I normally do it like at least 2 or 3 times before proceeding to other bases.
Okay. How about this? She has some new words she learned also. Breadcrumbing. Have you heard of that?
No, I don't know that
one. It's like you're leading someone along?
It's not a word. It means offering little bits of attention to keep someone interested. That's just flirting. That's just flirting and cushioning. Flirtations to keep you on the side. That's just flirting. Like, this is like, why are we acting like we're like learning about a new AI?
I know what Sneaky Link is. I learned that term from a rapper named YVS Village, who's a really sweet guy. Okay. But these just seem like extraneous words for things that have been around all along. Like, I don't really understand what they're achieving with this.
You hook up with in secret, yeah.
A sneaky link to me, like what I would call that is just like either a friend with benefits or a hookup.
Okay. Well, The Atlantic, it's a very long article. So person put a lot of work into this.
Can you text it to me?
We honor everybody's effort. On this podcast, but I think that we can just try to be a little more chill.
And everybody, what's the email again, Tim? We need more good
bulwarkpodcast@thebulwark.com.
We need more good boomer mailbags. And guys, we want gossip and tea and toxic shit. Jared,
do you have any tea about me you want to leave people with?
About my
behavior on Slack or, you know, anything alarmed you? Anything you want to tell people?
Nothing really alarming. I mean, it might be alarming after Ole Miss beats LSU this weekend, but
you're going to be fucking Tiger bait this weekend, Jared. That's the FY pod. Thank you to Jared Pollitt. Thank you to Cam Kasky. Go fucking Tigers.
I can do one more Tim T. Tim realized very quickly where I don't like to be poked, which is generally like the higher end of my torso, and decided that that was his chance to poke me at the higher end of my torso to the point where I go, ah!
I really like poking Cam.
Really fun to do around. Remember poking from Facebook? Anyway, everybody with FY Pod, we are Jared, the Bulwark, and Cam. We will be seeing you all soon.
Upper torso.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.